One thing is necessary. The psalmist says, one thing I desired of the Lord, and that I will seek, that I may abide in your house forever. There's other places. Hear, O Israel, the great Shema, where God is summarizing many of the commandments in the one great commandment that He gives to the nation of Israel to guide them on their way. Here Jesus says, one thing is necessary. The subtitle today, Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World. In the year 2000, there was a book by this name that was published. It was a very good seller. It's still available from a lot of different publishing houses. Having a Merry Heart in a Martha World. And then it has this subtitle, Finding Intimacy with God in the Busyness of Life. I got on Amazon this week and I wanted to read for you the synopsis of this book that I think relates very well to our passage today. This book, which was written by Joanne Weaver and is particularly addressed to women who are working and thinking through the implications of this passage of Scripture. This book is described as an invitation for every woman who feels she isn't godly enough, isn't loving enough, and isn't doing enough. The life of a woman today isn't really all that different from that of Mary and Martha in the New Testament. Like Mary, you long to sit at the Lord's feet, but the daily demands of a busy world just won't leave you alone. Like Martha, you love Jesus, really want to serve Him, yet you struggle with weariness, with resentment. Have you experienced in recent weeks resentment? I'm learning that is not an uncommon emotion for a believer. You struggle with weariness, resentment, with feelings of inadequacy. Then comes Jesus right into the midst of your busy Mary Martha life. And He extends the same invitation He issued long ago to two sisters of Bethany. Tenderly, He invites you to choose the good portion which will not be taken away. Each of us have a limited ability to multitask. Some of you have described yourself to me this way. I am a multitasker. And some of you have said, I am definitely not a multitasker. We have a limited ability to multitask for a limited period of time. One of the things I've had to learn in the duties and weights of the pastoral ministry is that I can multitask very well for a matter of a few days. But if I stay amped up at that multitasking level, things begin to fall apart very fast. Whether in first century Bethany or in your own home, disciples must daily and sometimes moment by moment choose the good portion. This is the phrase from verse 42 in our passage today. How do you choose the good portion? Well, at least one way of doing that is by returning in our mind's eye to the resurrected, reigning Christ. In the midst of the busyness, we have to learn the discipline of reorienting our lives and our affections and our schedule and everything else around the reigning Christ and the priorities that He establishes for us in our vocation. So enjoy the goodness of God's creation. Keep the details of practical service in view. And love Jesus above every other benefit that flows from Him. That's the introduction to this, again, very brief passage today. But we want to look at this under three headings. First of all, in verses 38 and 40, we want to see that the practice of hospitality requires attention to details. Now, I need to tell you up front, I am not a Martha. I am a romantic. I am a word person. Words get me very excited. When I come into church, I don't care about the dirty diapers. I don't care about refreshments. Where my heart naturally goes is, let me go in and just sit under the teachings of Jesus. So I feel kind of out of my element today, but I'm going to try. So today, we need to be aware that this whole episode unfolds because Martha, not Mary, notices that Jesus needs a place to stay. Because Martha, not Mary, goes out and welcomes him into her home. Because Martha, not Mary, does all the things necessary in order for Jesus, and by the way, notice it says in verse 38, they went on their way. Jesus and his entourage. Jesus and all those people who are following Jesus and learning from Jesus. This is not having somebody over to occupy one bed for a night. This is a massive hospitality endeavor, like some of you are preparing to engage in with our Life Focus team in a few weeks. Thank you again for welcoming this team into your home. The practice of hospitality requires attention to detail. It says, now as they were on their way, Jesus entered a village. Now we know from John 12, verses 1 and 2, that this village was Bethany. This village yet exists today. It's right over the Mount of Olives. So if you're looking to the east of Jerusalem, over the Mount of Olives, a fairly large mountain right beside the city of Jerusalem. Today it's known in Arabic as El Lazaria. And actually the name has the word Lazarus in it, because it was in Bethany that Lazarus was resurrected from the dead by Jesus just prior to his ministry there in Jerusalem. And so Jesus has come, probably coming up from the Jordan River, coming up from Jericho. He's on his way to one of the feasts, and he's staying now in the village of Bethany. And he comes into town, and again, we don't know the details, but this woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And so here we see that Martha is the one who has the eyes of attentiveness. Martha is the one who's paying attention to the details. We don't know if Martha was married, but if she was, it would be someone like her and her family that would be qualified, according to 1 Timothy 3 and Titus chapter 1, for leadership in the church. Because remember that one of the criteria for leaders in the church is that they be hospitable. Hospitality is hard. It is frustrating. It is awkward at times. Notice that it was Martha who, in some way, we don't know the details. I can't wait to learn the details of this event. But she comes out and she welcomes him, maybe going and physically inviting him. Again, a woman in this culture coming to Jesus and saying, please, we've heard your teaching. We believe that you are the Messiah. Please come and stay in our house. We would love to have you. So point number two, Martha was serving in welcoming Jesus and others. And I want you to think about, and this word is used in verse 40 and then again in verse No, it's twice in verse 40 that the word serve is used here. And it's used in the second part, which we'll get to in a minute. But I want you to just think about the importance of service. That there are people who have the gift of serving. This is one of the seven spiritual gifts that Paul lays out in the book of Romans. If a man's gift or if a person's gift is serving, let them serve. Let them be active in the church of Christ. Let them, you know, if you see some grossly overlooked need in the church, I've heard it said, that may be an indication that God is raising you up to meet a need. There are so many jobs that a church has. There are so many facets of being the kingdom of God in the world. That involves mercy. That involves the worship ministry of the church. That involves children and the next generations. That involves ministry. Many of you were were ministered in very wonderful ways in the life of Katie Piper and others in our congregation who are older and have particular needs. There are so many facets of what the church is called to do, and God doesn't give all of us all the gifts. And so I want to challenge you today as part of this notion of serving to consider what are the things that when you do those, they bring you joy. You just, to use the words of Eric Little, when I run, I feel God's pleasure. Those are things that you need to particularly pay attention to doing in the church. Now, there's more to it because there are also things that need to be done that nobody particularly feels joy in. All right, there are some just really hard jobs. Last night, I was over here at 10 o'clock at night. I dragged David with me and we were in the office running the copies. And I made the comment to him, you know, they never put this in the job title, but somewhere along the line, I know that every pastor on Saturday night has been trying to get the copy machine to work. That's just part of it. It just goes along with the job. So I want you to think about, there are those things that God has uniquely crafted you to do. Some of you, God has given you homes. He's given you, and you enjoy, you love having people into your home. Do that. That is glorifying to the Lord. Some of you, God has given lots of money, or relatively lots of money, and you just love to give it away. There's one of the gifts that God gives that Paul talks about in Romans 12 is the gift of giving. Give. Give. Give creatively. Give in such a way that it maximizes your return in terms of the effectiveness of God's kingdom. Some of you have a real penchant toward teaching, and you want to lay forth the doctrines of the Word of God in such a way that other people understand them and find joy in them and can live their lives in light of God's truth. All of these things are wrapped up in this notion of serving. And I want to remind us in Mark 10:45 that even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. And in Romans chapter 12 and verse 13, the Apostle Paul is very specific when he says, rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. Be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. And seek to show hospitality. But this is a calling that is given to the church clearly in the writings of the New Testament. So these are good things. Martha was serving and welcoming Jesus and all of these others who came to stay in her home. But now here's the transition. Point three. The word distracted in verse 40 reveals Martha's heart. You see, Martha was a great hospitality giver. She was welcoming. She was a hard worker. But then look what it says in verse 40. But Martha was distracted. A good translation of the Greek word here. She was distracted with much serving. And so here we see, and I think that Luke probably interviewed Martha, and I think that Martha probably bore witness and testimony to what was going on in her heart. She had this grand plan. We are going to host Jesus and all of these people, and we're going to serve them this for dinner, and we're going to have these drinks, and they're going to sleep in these beds, and we'll be able to send them on at this time tomorrow morning. And all of the details just begin to pile up and pile up. And Martha apparently is seeking to do these things herself. And then somewhere, maybe it's as Martha is in the kitchen chopping lettuce, or doing something else in this hospitality venture, that something happens in her heart. And she looks out, can stand in our kitchen and look out over our sink through this little window into the living room. And I stood there the other night, imagining Martha over the sink, doing whatever she's doing, looking out and seeing her sister. sitting at Jesus' feet, looking up with one of those serene, nonchalant, blank stares that clearly she is 100 miles from home just loving Jesus. Something happens in Mary's heart as now she moves from welcoming and service and faith to resentment. She has been distracted by the multiplicity of her duties from her main duty. Remember that, and we know that, you know, from her welcoming Jesus and his entourage into her house, doubtless she was a follower of Christ. Doubtless she knew who Jesus was. It actually will be Martha, by the way, who my daughter Marta is named after, who in John, I forget the chapter, but she will be the one to first in the Gospel of John explicitly confess that Jesus is the Messiah. It's a glorious thing. She professes faith before there's any of the Lazarus stuff that happens. She professes faith that the day is coming when Lazarus will rise from the dead at the resurrection. Because, and I know this because you are the Messiah of God. And it's on the basis of such professions that then Jesus moves forward and then he winds up raising Lazarus from the dead. And so what I want you to see is that Martha is not some newcomer to the kingdom of God. She is not some amateur. She might even be a covenant kid who was born in the church, raised in the church, lived there all her life, has been active in ministry, is competent in this kind of endeavor, in this kind of hospitality labor. Please come in. We've done this before. We've had visiting rabbis come and live in our house. We don't know the circumstances, but what we know is that on this particular day, that Martha was distracted. And this leads us to consider the question, what is it that makes you anxious? The end of point three. Because notice that Jesus describes Mary's condition here in verse 41 when he says, "Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things." And above all, what it is that's making Martha anxious and troubled today is Mary's behavior. And so that's the second point this morning. As we turn our heart from the kitchen to the living room, as we turn our heart from Martha's scurrying to Mary's stillness. The hospitality is the furthest thing from her mind at this moment. All right? My wife could probably tell you some stories. Maybe even from fairly recently, where in my zeal for Christ and my zeal that other people would see the glory of Christ, that Jesus is the good portion, Mary is just not firing on all cylinders. In fact, she's firing on exactly one cylinder. There's only one thing. The big idea has consumed all of the details, and she is not being a good host at this particular time. Okay, can you see this? Again, I want you to see, I'm not sure that Mary is faultless in this. Sometimes Martha gets a bad rap, and Mary is doing a good thing, and Jesus chooses to make a very important point here because of the events of this evening. But I want you to see that Martha and Mary are coming to personify two different tendencies. And I want you to think today, what is your tendency? What is the tendency? Do you tend to be consumed by the details, or do you tend to be consumed by whatever you are focused on at the moment and therefore missing opportunities for service? So the second point this morning is really drawn from the actions of Mary here. Point number two, union with Christ requires submission and attentiveness. Okay, look at what it says again in verse 39. "And she had a sister," here Luke is introducing us to Mary, "who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to His teaching. And I can hear Martha grumbling, "Mary, this is not the time to sit down. We have a job to do. We are the host. Get up. Come help me." And she's back there in the kitchen carrying her tray, and maybe the drinks are sloshing a little bit because she is frustrated at her sister. Okay, can you see this picture? But what is Mary doing? She is doing what is required of someone who would be united to Christ. She is sitting in submission at His feet, and she is carefully listening to the word of the Lord. Do you see this? She's sitting. She's quiet. Her life is not a cacophony of contradictory messages. It is a single message, and that message is Christ. So I say point one here, a disciple needs to listen at Jesus' feet. There's a couple of cross-references there. This notion of at Jesus' feet is a physical reference, but it's also a description of a disciple who is following. So for example, Paul sat at the feet of Gamaliel in Acts 22:3, and he learned from Gamaliel. That's a way of describing that he was a student in the school where Gamaliel was a professor. Okay, and so for Mary to sit at Jesus' feet here is a sign that she is believing on Him, that she is paying attention, giving heed to His words. And she's listening carefully. Okay? And so a couple of applications, I think, from this point. Point number two, do you listen carefully, as Mary did in this situation? Do you listen carefully when Scripture is read and preached? Again, all of us have dreamed. Maybe you've even tried hard to imagine. What would it be like to be walking into Bethany with the eternal Son of God? And when He begins to open His mouth, the words that are coming forth are the words of heaven. And you know they're the words of heaven because they've already been confirmed by supernatural miracles of Jesus, the Messiah. Oh, to be there. Oh, to hear the words of Jesus as He proclaimed the message of the gospel. But friends, that's exactly what happens in this place every week as the word of God is read and proclaimed. That's what happens in your homes when fathers or in family devotions, or you in your personal devotions, open the Word of God. Are you attentive and listening? Are you hearing the words of the eternal God from heaven as they come into this world and have their intended effect in our lives? It's easy. It's easy to be looking at your watch. It's easy to be saying, "Come on, we've got places to go and people to see." Friends, this is the Word of God. Hear your King speak. It takes time. It's not rushed. It's not just another appointment on the calendar. You need to be united to Christ by hearing the Word of the risen Lord. And so, Mary is listening. Mary is, in the words of verse 41, she has chosen the one thing that is necessary. You can do all of this serving and wind up being separated from Christ forever. But Mary has chosen the Word of God above all else, and that is what unites her to Christ. So notice how Jesus describes Mary here. But one thing is necessary. Look at the footnote there, or the alternative reading. Some manuscripts say here, "But few things are necessary, or only one." Okay? Few things are necessary. Jesus is taking the multiplicity of Martha's attitude here and saying, there's only a few things that are necessary, and actually there's only one thing that's necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not ever be taken away from her. She has chosen Christ. She has closed with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. She is His disciple, and she will follow and hear His word whenever it is available. Point number three, the good portion Mary chose was not the details, but the Christ. And again, I don't want to pretend like somehow these two are always against each other. Remember that Jesus Himself paid attention to many details. But in this situation, she was distracted from attention to Christ by her desire. It was a good desire to host, to demonstrate hospitality, but then she got stuck in the weeds, in all of the details, and somewhere along the line, her heart moved from a place of faith to a place of frustration. When and how have you seen your heart move from a place of faith to a place of frustration? You started out, it was a good desire, but somewhere along the line, that desire became a demand. And when somebody else didn't meet your demand, you got angry. And you loved that thing too much. And that very good thing, in this case, hospitality of Jesus, became an idol that began to warp your way of thinking. And now you find yourself angry and bitter at your sister. Oh, it's so subtle how these things happen, friends. Don't be distracted from Christ. Keep Christ there before your face at all times. Live every moment in the light of eternity. And so, one other application here is simply to ask, what is your portion? And I don't have time to go into this, but each one of these Psalms, as well as the book of Joshua, uses this phrase, portion. It says, the Lord is my portion. The portion is what you get served. I think there's actually a play on words going on here. The portion is what you get served in your meal. Martha's running around trying to prepare this meal so this man can get a portion and this man, and we have to have enough food, and we have to have enough drinks, and we have to have the side dish, and we have to have dessert. And Jesus is saying, Mary has chosen a good portion. Mary has chosen really good food to eat. Martha, I'm a little hungry, and your food is going to be wonderful. But don't forget the good portion. Your food is good. My food is better. This leads us then to the third point this morning. Keep the main thing the main thing. And specifically, keep the biblical main thing the main thing. For now we see that as a result of this distraction in verse 40, she goes up to Jesus. Martha goes to Jesus and says to Him, Lord, don't You care? Now who's at fault? Now it's Jesus' fault. Okay? That Mary isn't helping. And do you see how now bitterness begins to spread? Be careful lest a root of bitterness spring up and by it many become defiled, says the author of Hebrews in Hebrews chapter 12. And so now here she's coming to Jesus. Lord, don't You care? I'm here, poor old me. I'm trying to do my job, and my sister isn't doing her job, and You're not making her do it. Don't You care, Lord? And do you see how now it's just a big swirl? I call it the kitchen sink syndrome. It started out being the one thing, and now it's everything plus the kitchen sink, and I don't even know what I'm feeling. Have you been there? Have you been there? Think carefully about what it means to live with a Mary heart in a Martha world. Point number one here, all our many things will be taken away. Look again at verse 42. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. The implication of this verse is that all of the other things, Mary's food, which will last until it gets cold and until it's eaten and the meal is over and we move on, the other good portions, Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away. Friends, are you aware that the things that you hold dear are temporary? Your life, your business, your health, your physical strength. I was reflecting this week, my eyesight. I remember the time when I stood in front of that eye chart, and I was pretty handsome, and I was proud of myself. And I stood in front of that eye chart, and it was one big blur. I could read the first line. And my mom made some comment about, well, I guess you're going to have to get glasses. She might as well have taken a knife and stuck it into my heart. I ran, and literally for most of an hour, I just bawled like a baby. What is wrong here? My eyesight. And the eyesight that I have now, which is not particularly good, that will be taken away. What are the things that you treasure, that you need to be reminded, this too will be taken away? Point number two, have you learned to lay aside the good to focus on the best? There's nothing wrong, and we need to be really clear here. It is an extremely important function in the ministry of God to do much serving. This is a critical element of labor in the kingdom of God. But does that thing take a central place and thus dethrone the core issue, which is union with Christ? In the midst of the details, in the midst of the pressures, in the midst of the chaos sometimes, in the midst of the uncertainties, in the midst of the lack of gratitude, of being taken for granted by the Marys, do you see the importance of keeping the main thing, the main thing? Point number three, choose a joyful life of the living room of communion with Christ. Sorry, I don't have enough blanks in there, but choose a joyful life of the living room of communion with Christ. And here is where I'm particularly addressing the Marthas in our midst. That the time may come when you need to cease the busyness in order to go and sit and hear the gospel of Christ. When you need to lay aside the things that you're so good and talented and useful in doing, but your usefulness does not come from the doing. It comes from being united to Christ. Keep the main thing. The main thing. So go spend some time in the living room. You don't have to be in the kitchen all the time. Go and be with Christ. And then number four, and this is where I think this story is resolved. Channel that love for Christ into kitchen service. That again, once you've had the time, once you've employed the Sabbath day profitably, once you've sat and you've been strengthened and nourished by Christ, then you can go out and serve with new zeal, with new clarity of heart, with new understanding of how this matters. And now you're doing all of this serving, and rather than being distracted and resentful, rather than being confused and knocked off your game, now you have the focus. Oh, friends, let us consider how our union with Christ overflows into practical service. Marys, don't despise the Marthas. And Marthas, don't despise the Marys. Let us both look to and love Christ. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you would help us to apply it in practical, everyday situations where we find ourselves. Lord, particularly where we come into a place of team service. Lord, maybe it's with our spouse. Maybe it's with our brother or sister. Maybe it's with a fellow employee at work. We pray, O Lord, that you would help us to serve together for the glory of Christ. To not resent one another. To not fall into this trap that Martha fell into of, oh, pity me, and then blaming the Lord. Lord, help us to be people who are engaged in service, but are focused upon our King. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.